Hi, Michael.
Hey, Dad. How are you tonight?
I'm tired.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that seems to be your modus operandi.
Well, it is.
You know, the news has got to be on somewhere, so you must be ready for a nap.
I am.
No, today is Monday, July 21st, 2025, and we're continuing our podcast, our Minutes with Mike, if you will. Tonight, I kind of want to start a verbal ancestry, and I know we talked offline a few minutes before we started, Dad, and I know you said you put everything you had to put in the book, but it's still nice to hear somebody tell that story, because although when you write it down, you are telling the story, and you know in your head, and you're speaking those words onto the paper, but you lose that. You lose that when you have never heard it from the source. You know, you lose that effect that they put on that paper. So, you know, maybe this kind of matches up with some of the stuff that's in our book that you put together for us.
Okay.
I'd like this to be a little series, because I don't I want to talk about each person and get them their proper time.
Okay.
You know, and whenever we can. So let's start as far back as you can remember, you know, your grandparents. Let's start there. Do you remember your grandparents?
No, I never met my grandparents. They had died before I was born.
So none of your grandparents you met?
No, neither maternal or paternal.
That's interesting, because I was not too far away from that, I guess. Grandma Pluto was the only one I really knew.
Yeah.
Obviously, I never met Grandpa McCloskey. Grandma McCloskey and Grandpa Pluto died when I was 5 and 6 years old, respectively. So,
yeah, that's essentially, I think they had died. My grandparents had died before I was born. But the other part of that equation is, and kind of a topic with what's going on in our society today, my paternal side was a family of immigrants. Now, you can make the case that, well, originally everybody was immigrants to the United States, which is true. And but in my particular case, Dad's family was from the Ottawa, Ontario area, and they were a pretty close bunch. And because Dad's grandparents had come over as emigrants, E-M-I-G-R-A-N-T-S, from Ireland,
right,
to escape the potato famine, and they were farmers, and they were poor.
That was your dad's parents, so your grandparents.
That's correct. They
moved from Ireland to Ottawa,
right,
area.
And I don't the problem.
So we weren't in Canada for a generation.
Well, but. Yes and no. It depends on which generation you want to talk about, because my grandparents that emigrated, they were poor farmers. And it was common at that time when Irish immigrants left the country, left Ireland, they would try to go where their family members were, because they all needed, well, at least in the United States, they all needed sponsors. And so let's say my grandfather landed, of course, he landed in Canada. He landed in Montreal. That was his port of entry. He had a brother who was a farmer in Ottawa. And at that time, I think there was another brother living in that area that had, they kind of hooked up, and but they were dirt poor farmers. I mean, dirt poor. And probably should have been in a workhouse, but because they lived in a rural area, they were subsistence farmers. They grew enough crops just for themselves, and that kept them I'm guessing, I don't have any evidence to this effect, but that kept them out of the poorhouse. And so that brought them to Canada, because one of their brothers had, older brothers, had emigrated to Canada from Ireland. And
why do you, you probably don't know the why Canada and not the United States?
Well, Canada was having a tremendous, they had a much larger land grant than the United States did at that time, because Canada was much, at that time, was much sparser, had a much sparser population. And so they were trying to get people to colonize Canada, specifically in the Ontario area. So they were giving out much larger chunks of ground, and they would be given, I want to say, a year's supply of seed and tools to get started. And so that's why you see, for example, large families, you know, the larger your, each one of your children was, how do I want to, huh?
Labor.
Yeah. The more children you had, the more laborers you had on your farm. And so if you had girls.
So I'd like to sidebar there and say that Mexicans and Irish are very, very similar in that regard.
Okay.
That's why both Irish Catholic family or Irish and Mexican Catholic families have large families, because the more hands you have, the lighter the labor is.
Well, and it was very definitely, the Irish at that time were a paternal family, even though, I got to restate that. In legal terms, the Irish were a paternalistic society. The dad was the head of the household, but behind closed doors, mom was.
That's also similar to Mexican.
Yeah, and well, it's still true today, I think.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And so, the man, the woman could not hold title. There were so many legal privileges that the man had that the women did, voting. Women could not have land in their name, for example. If the man died, believe it or not, it was customary for the oldest unmarried brother of the deceased was highly encouraged to marry his brother's wife. And that was kind of, that was borderline incestuous, and it wasn't very well received. And this is totally my interpretation of my reading. It was only done as a last resort. So, for example, and this from a genealogical perspective, the Irish named the firstborn male after the head of the family. So in our case, Well, I don't know now that I'm thinking about it, but there's so many Michael McCloskeys that came to Canada from Ireland. It was a tremendous problem for me when I was doing our genealogical work to sort out which ones belonged to which family. And Michael...
So your dad was not the first... Your dad was not the firstborn of his family, obviously, then.
No, he was not. He was... I want to say he was the youngest or near the youngest. So
neither were you?
I was the only son born to my mom and dad. So I was named Michael after my grandfather. Is there questions?
No, that was good, Dad. That's I just wanted a clarification on that.
It gets kind of hairy. And keep in mind that back then the only Irish records, they didn't have a county deeds office.
Clerk, county clerk. Yeah, they were or register of deeds.
Right. They were kept in the parish rectory because almost all of them were Catholics. But in the 1800s, there was a revolution going on, and again, the Protestants and Catholics were fighting, and the building in Dublin that had, well, this would have been in the Revolution of 1916 in Dublin. The Protestants, the Catholics were holed up in the building that contained all of the Catholic birth records and land deeds, and the Protestants burned it down. So all those records were lost. And the only records that I can't say were readily available, it was, well, even today when I was doing genealogy, it still is very difficult to find out who owned the land and who was whose son, because those records were stored in the church, and the church did a sloppy job of keeping records, and you know, they closed parishes down, and those records were lost, and it was just nasty. It still is. Irish genealogy is very hard to do because of that reason. But I assume that just about anybody named Michael McCloskey is related to me somewhere.
Okay, so what did you know about your grandparents from what your dad and mom told you about them?
Well, again, because my dad and mom were, well, my dad was the immigrant. My mother was not. She was born here in the United States. But she spent a lot of time in Montreal and Toronto growing up. So my dad's family, there were a lot of McCloskeys in the Ottawa area, and they were all related. But when Dad came to the United States, he came by himself. I think I've told you the story. He came over to ski. He was trying out for the Canadian Olympic ski team when he was going to be a cross-country skier and a ski jumper, and he broke his leg in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, who had the highest ski jump at that time. And so he was laid up in a hospital up there for a number of months, and when he finally was rehabbed and released, he never went back home. He did for a little while, but just enough to get his stuff together and move it back here, because he, I don't know. Dad never told me why he stayed here. I'm assuming the opportunities were greater here, and Dad was a hard worker, and he worked his way up at the Department of Street Railways for Detroit, and became assistant superintendent of the Detroit Street Railways. So because of that, all our family was in Canada, and I only went back to one family reunion in Canada when I was about 8 or 9 years old. The point being, we just didn't have, if we had communication with them, I never knew about it. You know, it wasn't like even our own family today, where we're almost always together, and with the social electronics, we can communicate instantly. That just didn't exist back then. So the answer to your question is, Michael, I can't tell you, because Mom and Dad never talked about. I know more about my mother's grandfather and mother than I do Dad's, but Dad's I know very little about.
So what do you know about your mom's then?
Well, Mom's dad, I think, it's a story in the book. Mom's dad was a doctor, and he was kind of a, I wrote about the story in our history, but he was supposedly a very, very good doctor, and he was attracted to a lot of women, and he had a lot of, I don't know if he had mistresses, but he had a lot of extramarital affairs. And that's what, he was an extremely jealous man. And that's what, when he, he had an affair with this woman, and his wife, your grandmother, who was married obviously to I'm trying to think of his first name. I got a brain freeze going on right now, but anyway, he was violent with mom's mom, and would. Today he probably would have been arrested, but he would I know for a fact that he verbally abused her, and I think I have evidence of him physically abusing her. And so Mom and her mother slipped out of, they were living in Plymouth, Michigan, and they slipped out in the middle of the night one night. He was a drunk too, by the way. And they went down to Akron, Ohio, where they had some relatives, Olivers and were their name. And they were living down there. And I think, if I remember, I confirmed this with Mom. I think Mom was, I think, 14 when she ran away with her mother. And they were down there 2 years before her father found them. He had tracked them down, and he accused my grandmother on Mom's side of having a boyfriend, and he tracked them down to the upper flat that they were living in. A relative's had a two-story home, and they were living in the upstairs, and they called that a flat. And the mom's biological father tracked them down, and mom's grandmother, there's so many versions of this story, but what I sorted out was that my grandmother was not having a romantic affair with this one, this man, because she was so terrified of her husband. But the doctor husband tracked him down and came to the flat that they were in and caught this other guy in between floors, the downstairs and the upstairs, and he had one of his surgical knives with him, and he cut this guy up bad, and the guy almost died, and my grandfather was charged with assault, and he did some time in jail, and then he got out of jail somehow. In fact, he went back to practicing medicine because he was such a good doctor, and then he died. I want to say it's in the book. It's in our family history. I want to say he got hit. No, that was mom's husband, mom's first husband. But I think he died in a traffic accident. So I don't know if that's an answer to your question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's exactly what I was looking for.
And mom was very, very close to her mom, too. And then mom, after that incident, mom was terrified that her dad, he served some time in prison. I forget how. I want to say it was 2 years. So she escaped or ran away to Akron and was there for 2 years. So when she was 16, he got out of prison, and he came to Akron, and he took mom with him up to New York, Buffalo, New York. And mom was such a young girl. Now, this is my understanding, and I'm not sure the accuracy of it, but he conned her into believing that her mother was the one with the extramarital affairs. And so she went with her dad, stayed up there in the Buffalo area for a couple of years until she was 18, and then realized what the truth was. And so she ran away from him again, and she ended up in what's right across the river from, it's right on the other side of Niagara Falls, New York, or Canada. So she spent, oddly enough, she was 18 when that happened, and she met a guy from Montreal who was a scumbag himself, and she married him, and he was a wife beater. And so when she was, I'm going to say 20, there's the detail is in the book. She ran away from him, and this her husband's sister lived right across the bridge in Niagara Falls, New York, and mom ran away, and his sister hid her that close to where they lived because they were living in Niagara Falls, Ontario. And he never found mom, and that's where mom and dad met. So.
Interesting. Well, let's pick up there. Let's pick up there next time. I think that's a good time to break.
Okay.
That's good. There are a couple of those things I have not heard either.
Oh, really? Okay.
And you read them in the book, but again, it just the spoken word brings those things to life. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So thank you. Thanks for that little bit of history, and we'll probably pick up from that point where mom and dad or your mom and dad meet in Niagara Falls, Ontario.
Yeah. Okay, Michael, thank you for contacting me tonight and spending some time.
Yeah, no, thanks for your time. And again, what's the point of all this? The point of all this is so somebody else can hear it someday and understand a firsthand account of things that are maybe many times removed from them. So,
all right, we'll see you next time.